As Joe said earlier, we have for some time now been thinking about holy habits. So I want to do a quick recap thinking about habits. A habit, good or bad, is doing something consistently, not just once, but day in and day out. And as we're talking about holy habits, it goes without saying that we are talking about doing something consistently good. But there is more to holy habits. Holy habits are habits that are in line with our belief about God and the life he calls us to in Christ. A life that reflects the goodness of God, a life in line with the teachings of Jesus. Today, as has already been said, the area we're talking about, the habit we want to form, is around sharing our resources. I want to start with a disclaimer. You know, sometimes in emails at the bottom, there's little notices. When I was first learning to preach as a local preacher, before I went into the ministry, one of the things I was told is preach first to yourself. So I want to say that what I'm sharing with you this morning is what I have come to understand. And I share it with you in the hopes that it might be of some help to you in the decision you make about how you share your resources. Let's start by defining what we think of as a resource. In the readings from Acts, you might be fooled into thinking that it's only about money. Well, actually, the dictionary defines resource as a stock or supply of money, materials, staff, and that would include volunteers, and any other assets that can be drawn upon by an organization in order to function effectively. When I was younger and raising my daughter and working full time, time was as scarce and as valuable as money. Now I'm retired and I have a lot more time, but I'm getting old. So what is scarce now is energy and health. Resources can be money, but resources can also be our time, our energy, or our possessions. Sharing can be about taking time to do things for other people. Volunteering, for instance, doing gardening, giving lifts, running errands, doing youth work in church, coffee on Sunday morning. In Scripture, we have the story of Dorcas. The people called Peter because of all that she had done for them. Not money, but all the many services that she had done. It can be about churches working together to share resources. When I helped do cover in a Leatherhead church, two of the churches there needed a youth worker but couldn't afford the salary. So they hired a youth worker between the two of them. In our neighbor, Marrow, there is a lunch club that happens to operate out of the Methodist Church, but it could not operate if it didn't have people from St. Pius and St. John's helping to make it happen. In our own church, this summer, we saw a sharing of resources over preaching and over worship. Churches working together to share resources can be the right kind of sharing for us to think about. What about people sharing their homes? When I was in Yorkshire, there was an organization called Night Stop, and they would go at the weekends into the town, find homeless youngsters who were waiting for the council to give them accommodation, and they would find accommodation, overnight accommodation or accommodation for a few days. among the people in the town who were volunteering. Sometimes even emotion can be a resource. In this church, we give regular support to different organizations: Christians Against Poverty, Friends International, Happy Child, Foodwise, and Street Angels. They are our mission partners. But it is the passion of the people who are involved in them that keeps bringing them before us, telling us what's happening, telling us where the need is, encouraging us to share what we have. Emotion, passion for the poor, for people who are marginalized, can be a resource that helps the rest of us not to forget. From defining a resource, I want to move to thinking more about how we share the resources we have. For years, I was put off by readings like the one we had from Acts, because I thought the only way of sharing was to sell up everything and give it away. Which is okay if you know the world's going to end in a few days and you're not going to need to go on living. But in the 21st or 20th century, as it was at the time, that doesn't always work. Not everyone wants to live in a Christian commune or a monastery or a convent. Anyone like me who has had this image of sharing being about giving away everything you have, it wasn't even the case then. Some did, but not all. In Acts chapter 4, verse 34, it says, "Those who owned land or houses sold them." But it also says, "from time to time." And in Acts 2, verse 46, it says, "Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes," plural. And it's clear that both Jesus and the apostles, after his ascension, were often supported by food and money from believers who were not living all together. And sharing resources is not just a once and for all. Remember, we're talking about habits, about doing something consistently and regularly. Think again about those words, "from time to time." The resources given were on an as-needed basis, as events developed. COVID is certainly an excellent example of an event that has caused great need for us today. And we have seen amazing generosity of time given to people in difficulty, food shared. But we have also seen examples of the opposite behavior, greed that has made things more difficult for some. Employers who've taken government money that was intended to help avoid redundancies and still made the people redundant. People who hoarded food and other goods instead of sharing. And as Joe said before, anyone who's tried to get petrol in the last 24 hours will know that the hoarding is still with us. The panic that there won't be enough. People feel scared. They worry that there won't be enough. And that fear can be what stops us sharing what we have. I want now to go to what is, for me, the most important thing, the heart of the idea of sharing resources, and that is why we share. Why we want to nurture this particular habit, and why it is a holy habit. Of course, a big part of the answer is simply that giving is part of the nature of God, and we seek to reflect that nature. Another is that everything comes from God and is not ours to own. In America, the Native Americans had a strange idea, strange to the pioneers who moved into their territory, because the Indians saw the land as not belonging to anybody. Nobody owned the land. The land was owned by everybody. And the settlers, of course, each wanted their parcel. I have come to the conclusion that for me, another important part of sharing resources is about faith and trust in God to give us what we need, even when it's not necessarily what we want. In Acts chapter 3, a lame beggar in the temple cries out to Peter for money. And Peter replies, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." The most important thing we have to share is our faith. All other sharing is simply a demonstration of faith in action, a demonstration of the nature of God growing in us. But in my life, I found another reason for sharing, and it has to do with not holding anything other than my relationship with God as so precious that I can't let go of it. I grew up in a country where money is the national god. Money buys power. Money buys things. Money can even make health problems easier and make it possible to have more leisure time. Money equals security in an insecure world. For years, I was haunted by a story in Acts 5 about Ananias and his wife. They sold their house to give money to the apostles, but they must have been somebody like me who was a bit anxious that maybe this whole thing wouldn't work out, so they held some of the money back and lied to the apostles and said they were giving everything. But Peter knew what they had done. He challenged them, and he challenged them because they were testing God and offending the Holy Spirit in their lying. That, together with the story of the widow's mite, remember it said all that she had to live on. All this was saying to me that God wanted me to give up everything. Not only that, but according to 2 Corinthians 9, I was supposed to do it willingly, happily. Paul says we should give not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I love giving lifts. I like driving. And I don't mind waiting on people if they have appointments. I can sit with coffee and a roll and be perfectly happy. I love talking to people. Some of my friends say I just love talking, but I do listen too, and I do learn from other people's experiences. And I have happily shared my home with a number of people over the years. But for me, the hurdle was money. Apart from the disadvantage of being brought up in a culture where money is God, it has always been in short supply in my life. And I found it hard to part with. It was when money rather than time or energy was asked of me that I wasn't quite so cheerful about sharing. I was anxious. How would I manage? But what I discovered and want to share with you this morning was that I eventually realized I was finding my security in money and possessions rather than in my relationship with God. I had to trust God that if I was willing to let go of whatever I was holding on to, be it money, time, energy, possessions, or even loved ones, He would help me manage the loss. Fear of loss is the greatest of all human fears. Yet, like Paul, I am learning that in what I gain in Christ is worth anything I lose. God did not ask me to give up everything. Indeed, God needs people to keep having resources to keep sharing. He just didn't want me to put the wrong value on anything I had. Of course, it is a lesson I have to keep relearning, how to let go and trust God. That's the thing about habits. We have to keep on practicing them. But 1 John 2:1 says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. We do not walk this journey of life alone. Jesus, our advocate, gives us the help of the Holy Spirit and enables us to experience the love of God." I was really struck by one of the first songs that we sang this morning, one particular line that said, "In my failures, you won't walk out." Both resources and ways of sharing them are as varied as the beautiful world that God has created. God is not concerned about how rich or poor a person or a church is, only how we use what he has given us. And my prayer for us all is that we daily practice the habit of sharing what God has given us, reflecting his nature in our lives. With God's help, may we never lose sight of our true goal. Eventually, all things, all possessions turn to dust. But in Christ, we find life eternal. And in sharing, we may help others to find him too.